2 Corinthians chapter number 1. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Our God is the God of all comfort, church. And this morning I want to preach very briefly on this thought: the comforting ways of God. Comfort is the help and the encouragement of another. I believe in the scripture that there is comfort from God and there is encouragement from God. And there are different ways that the Lord comforts us. And this is very simple this morning. Maybe you're here today and you're going through a tough circumstance. Maybe there are situations that you cannot control. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're despondent. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you know someone that is. I don't know what you go through. But these are the verses that the Lord laid on my heart. Some ways that God would comfort His people. I would remind you that first of all, He comforts you from the precepts of the Word of God. There's been many nights where I've been troubled in the night, or I was burdened or worried and was a little downtrodden. And I turned to the Word of God, and it was the Word of God that began to help me. It was the Word of God that began to encourage my beleaguered heart. And I thank Him for the Word of God. Don't you, friend? If you would turn to Psalm 119, and I want you to see verse number 49. Psalm 119 and verse number 49. Please look at this beautiful verse of Scripture. He says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is comfort in mine affliction." Praise the Lord. "For thy word hath quickened me." Hallelujah to God. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. The reason he was weeping was because he had a great burden. He saw the people of God destitute and in shambles. He saw them carried away into the bondage of Babylon. Certainly the day and age in which we live, there is affliction and there is oppression. There is pain, suffering, and hardships in which you and I must endure. And Jeremiah, the man of God during that time, wept his way many times to God. Friend, when he was weeping, yea, when he was mourning, similar to what your experience has been over the course of the last few days, how was Jeremiah comforted of God? This is what he wrote in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." That doesn't necessarily that he partook of them in the flesh and digested them into his stomach, no. It means that I read the Word of God. I meditated on the Word of God. And I took knowledge and I took heart of the Word of God. Jeremiah 15, 16 again, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Friend, I'm telling you, there was a time, very specifically, I was very discouraged. I didn't know which hand to turn other than to look up, and took a portion of God's word and just opened it up and began to read. And friend, God began to speak to me directly from His word. It was exactly what I needed to hear. It was exactly what blessed my soul, and what got me through that hour was the comfort that I found in the Word of God. Friend, I want to say to someone today, don't be afraid to take God's Word in the midst of the night and read it. Chances are it will help you and encourage you. and many of you have been alone in a dark and defeated place, only to read the Word of God, and somehow there was nourishment for your soul and encouragement that lifted you for another day. Praise God for His Word. What about when death comes? Death comes to your family and leaves you so defeated and you feel like giving up, and the devil says, your God has failed you. You prayed for your loved one's healing and yet they died. But friend, if they were saved, amen, the Lord did heal them in that He took them on home to heaven, never to feel pain, suffering, or sorrow ever again. Listen what the Word of God, the precepts of the Word of God would comfort you even when death comes. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, praise the Lord, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Those are words of comfort. But look at what the Holy Ghost adds. He says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." It's not my word. These are the words of God. When we read these words, when we hear these words being blessed, they are a comfort to our soul to know that there is a place that the devil can't get to. There is a place where death is not welcome. There is a place where we'll be reunited with our loved ones forever and ever to stay. So praise God, friend, no matter if it's discouragement or despair or even death, there is comfort from the precepts of the Word of God. He says in Romans 15 and verse number 4, "Wherefore whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Praise God. We have hope this morning in the comfort of the Scriptures. Thank God for His Word. Number two this morning, you can go to the Lord in prayer. There is comfort in speaking oft with our Lord. He told us to pray without ceasing. Friends, you never know about the results of prayer. But I promise you, He said in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You may not always physically see the results of your prayer, but I promise you, somewhere, somehow, someone's feeling it. You may be praying for someone. You may be thinking this is never happening. But the God that we pray to hears, and the God that we pray to answers, and He's working on the other side of this thing. I promise you, friend, you need to continue to pray. The Scripture says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." David wrote in the Psalms, I love to read the Psalms, amen, speaking about prayer in Psalm 34 and verse number 4. He said, "I sought the Lord and He heard me." Hey friend, am I the only one in the building this morning to say, there's been a definite time that I went to the Lord in prayer and I sought His help and He heard me. He encouraged me. He held me and He gave me hope. Praise God for the comfort of the Lord. He said, "I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Psalm 34:18 says, "For the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You'll bear your heart to him. It's okay to weep. He understands what those tears mean. It's okay, amen, just to lay your heart out before him and say, Lord, I just don't understand. I'm so discouraged. He knows what you need, friend. And if you'll just bear your heart with him and trust him in the middle of your present circumstance, there will be comfort that only our God can give. He said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse number 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. I would remind you of the scripture in the book of Matthew and in chapter number 9. This just comes to me hot off the press. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 22, there was that woman with the issue of blood. She was in despair and in discouragement, but she heard Jesus was coming her way that day. She had spent her living of 12 years and wasted on all these doctors and nurses that could not help her. But when she heard that Jesus had come to town, the scripture says that she thought within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be made whole. And as Jesus passed by that way, she pressed through a great multitude, bowed herself down as he passed by, and touched the behind side of his garment. And immediately the Bible says that she felt healing in her soul. Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? The disciples said, Master, why would you ask who touched you amongst this great crowd? The multitude's thronging you. How can you ask? He said, I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. In other words, someone has touched me in faith. Someone has bowed and prayed. Someone was looking to me for comfort. And about that time, that woman who knew that she could not be healed, could not be hidden, she bowed herself and looked towards him and told her everything that was upon her heart. And he said in the book of Matthew chapter 9 and in verse number 22, I believe that it is, he said, daughter, that's a family name. That means you've been forgiven. You're one of my children, amen. Daughter, be of good comfort. Hallelujah, I heard your prayer. I've met your need. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Friend, we can go to the Lord in prayer, in faith, and he will hear us, and he will answer us, and give us the comfort that we need. You may say, well, the preacher didn't comfort me. The deacons didn't comfort me. The church didn't comfort me. President Obama didn't comfort me. Friend, I'm telling you what, we can't, but he can. Bless his name. Thirdly this morning, who else or how else can we be comforted? I do believe that God would allow us, his people, to comfort one another. I was reading this week in the book of John chapter number 11. Please turn there. We remember the story of Lazarus and how he died, and we remember that the Lord Jesus was not there, and he stayed away for a few days just to try to prove to them he had power over death and could raise Lazarus again. We heard the song that says, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time, amen? He's right on time. He came there to Martha. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? She said, Lord, I believe that you're the Son of God. And I know you're the one that's supposed to come into this world. But what she's thinking was, I know you're the resurrection. I know you're going to help us one day. But her doubt was this. I don't think that you're going to help me now. My loved one's gone. Friend, you don't realize, he's come to comfort this family. He's come because he cares. Woo! Where there's two or three gathered in his name, he said, I'm there in the midst. And if you're here individually and you're saved, he lives inside your soul. He's there to comfort you. Why? Because he cares. And the Bible says that he called for Mary secretly. Martha ran back and said to Mary, the master's come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, verse 29, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her. Do you see that? Back at her house, when she was brokenhearted and despondent, there were friends that cared. And her friends came to her house to comfort her. They knew that there was death. They knew that she needed help and encouragement. And the Bible says they came and they comforted her. I do believe that God can use people. Don't leave this place, but remember what I read to you. He's the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies, who comforteth us in our tribulation. And he does. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Friend, if you've been in trouble, have you experienced the comfort of God at one point or another? And if you have, then, when someone else, it's your friend or your loved one, gets in trouble, you kind of know sort of how they feel. And you'll show up. You'll call. You'll visit. You'll send a card. Whatever it takes. And you'll be there to try to encourage them and help them, because you know that your God helped you. And you appreciated a friend in that time. And you want to be a friend to someone who's in trouble themselves. These folks have showed up. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Can you see them as they've come to Mary to comfort her? And Martha comes in and says, "Mary, the master is come and calleth for thee." She left all her friends behind. She wasn't worried about being rude to her company. You know how you are. I can't go because I might be being perceived as being rude to my company. No, this is what she thought. "I appreciate your friendship, your love, and your support. But there's one that can comfort me like no other. And he's calling for me. I'm going to meet him." And so her friends got up and went behind her and began to follow her to the grave, weeping and crying, and say, "Oh, look how she loved Lazarus. She's going to go back to the grave, and she'll probably fall on the grave there, and she'll probably weep and cry, and we need to be there with her." But all of a sudden, she took a little turn. And they thought, "This ain't the way to the graveyard. Mary, where are you going?" She said, "Don't you understand? The grave's not calling me. The resurrection, Jesus, has asked for me." And she went to where Jesus was. She went to where there was comfort, and her friends followed her to that place. Friend, I want to say something to you. You ought to be the right kind of friend to help comfort somebody. Has anybody ever comforted you to try to be a help to you? Then you owe it to your fellow man to try to be a comfort to them at one point or another. Hey, when old Paul got saved, and he went to the disciples and he said, "Fellas, I just got saved and I've been baptized now, and the scales have come off my eyes, and God's called me to preach." The disciples said, "Ooh, I don't know." They were afraid of him. They thought that he was the wickedest man that ever lived, and thought, "This is just a trap, and he's going to trick us and take us off to jail." They were afraid of him. But there was a man named Barnabas. In the book of Acts, chapter number 9, I believe it is, about verse 27, he stood up and took Paul to the disciples and said, "Gentlemen, this is my friend Paul. And I want you to receive him well, because God saved him and called him to preach. And I want you to be a help to him." You see, it was Barnabas that stood up to be an encouragement to Paul when the world had turned against him. Everybody needs a Barnabas. Everybody ought to be a Barnabas. Friend, do you realize that 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. There was a time when the great preacher, the Apostle Paul, he was discouraged in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, having a really hard time, wanting to hear some good news about the church at Corinth, and wasn't hearing a whole lot. And he's out there in a terrible place. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he says in verse number 4, "Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest." Now he's telling you about his problems. "But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." You ought to underline that in your Bible. Because there's somebody here, I believe with all my heart, inside is fighting, or outside is fightings, and within you've got fears. Things that you won't talk about, things you won't admit to, you're afraid about. Verse 6, "Nevertheless," that means in spite of the fact that there was fightings outside and fears inside, Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Paul said, I just need to see somebody that'll help me. I know God's able to comfort. And God took a young man by the name of Titus and said, I want you to go to Paul. And I want you to share with him the news that's what's happened at Corinth. And when Titus got there, it comforted Paul. What about that? Comforted by someone that came to visit. I thought about this little story to try to illustrate it. There was a little boy who was put to bed by his daddy. The little boy came down the hall and said, Daddy, I need a drink of water. He said, okay. And he went and got him some water and gave it to the boy and put the boy back to bed. The little boy got back up and he came back down the hall and he said, Daddy, I need something else. And he said, son, what's wrong? Well, you're just making excuses. He said, I'm afraid. He said, son, you don't have to be afraid. With inward fears, he's admitting to it. He said, you don't have to be afraid. He said, do you know that you're saved, son? He said, Daddy, I am. He said, well, he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He said, I know that, Daddy. He said, son, don't you know that God said he'd never leave you and he'd never forsake you? I know that, Daddy. He said, well, son, you go back to bed in the peace of God, with the help of God. He looked at him, he said, Daddy, I know that God will be there for me, but I just kind of wanted you. Because every now and again, a boy needs somebody with skin on him to sit with him in the night. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. There's times in our life we need each other. I know God is our comfort, but God uses us to be a blessing to someone else. You remember Job and how defeated he was? He was bankrupt of all his possession. He was bereaved of all of his children. Do you remember the story? He had boils all over his body. His bride said, cuss God and die. Where's he going to turn to? Job chapter 2. Look here quick. Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. Verse number 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. These three men came to be a help to Job. They heard about his misery and they came to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, why didn't they know him? He was so miserable, he was almost unrecognizable because of his great despair. When they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Friend, they started this the right way. There are four ways that you'll comfort somebody. First of all, they came because they cared. That's one way to comfort somebody, is just show up. When they got there, the Bible says they mourned with him. I remember my grandma said to me one time when something bad had happened in their life, she called me and I was crying to her. I was crying. And she started crying too. And I knew she didn't feel what I was feeling, but because I was hurting, it was hurting her. And she started weeping and she said, son, I'm going to tell you this. I'll weep with you when you weep. That's what some people need. You just to weep with them. When they're weeping, you just go weep with them. Job was weeping and his three friends showed up to mourn with him. They just sat there and began to weep. The third thing they did is they sat with him. You just show up and don't just leave. Stay there a little while. The Bible says they sat with him. Fourthly, they said not a word. You know the best comfort you can give to somebody? It's not open your big mouth and show them how super spiritual you are. Keep your big mouth shut. You may say the wrong thing and hurt them. Been to people's house before and they said, boy, the preacher's awful quiet. What's wrong with him? Friend, I'm telling you, sometimes the best thing you can do is just show up. Best thing you can do is just pray for them. Best thing you can do is just weep with them and just keep your big fat mouth shut. Amen. They didn't say a word. But when his buddies got in trouble, they began to bring him into judgment, didn't they? They began to judge him and tell him what was wrong in his life and what his problems was. And when they started opening their mouth, Job said in Job 16:2, miserable comforters are you all. Friend, I don't want to be a miserable comforter to nobody. Last of all, in the way God will comfort you is at a place called God's house. How will God comfort you, preacher? The precepts of his word. Through prayer, through people, and through a place called God's house. Friend, the scripture tells us very definitely, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Would you turn to Psalm 73? This is our last verse of scripture, and we're done. Asaph wrote this psalm in Psalm 73, and he was a man who was greatly discouraged. He said in verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, when I began to look at the world, I got so discouraged, I didn't even want to go to church. I began to have such problems, I didn't even want to go to church. Devil had me convinced nobody liked me there anyway. But finally, he started praying about it in verse 17. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? He said, you know, I thought the wicked was prospering. I thought they were doing better than the believers were. And I was just about ready to quit. And then I went to the house of God. And the minister took the book. And he started reading the scripture to me. And told me what the end was going to be for the wicked. And I thought, thanks be unto God, I've been redeemed. And that encouraged me. The man of God took the book and began to read to me about Jesus' love, care, and compassion for me. It helped my soul. Then the Lord began to speak to me, and the Holy Ghost moved on me. And then they got a song, and they started singing a song, and the words of that song was just what I needed. And then somebody jumped up and started to pray. And man, I needed that prayer. And then they started to have a time for dismissal and a time of invitation. And the altar call was given, and you know what I did? I said, I'm going to take God and his promise. I'm going to take God and his word. And I'm going to hit the altar for comfort. And you know what happened when I went to the house of God and got around the people of God? People singing and shouting and praising God and praying and preaching. I got encouraged, amen. I got help, amen. And I think I'm going to go back because it's what I need. Four ways God will encourage you. Through the precepts of his word. Through time in prayer. Through God's people keeping their mouth shut, and through a place called God's house. Never forget one time. I'm done. You stand to your feet. I actually had gone home after a church service. It was a wonderful service. It was great. But there were things that were said to me as I left that caused me a lot of hurt. And I went to the house, and I was so discouraged. My wife, she had got hurt a little bit too. And she said, I'm just going to go get us something to eat. I can't even deal with this right now. And I was just home alone. And y'all, I looked at my walls. And there wasn't any of our pictures on them. They were all gone. And I looked at our living room, and all the furniture was gone. And I remember just falling on the floor and said, Lord, all I've done is just try to trust you. I'm so hurt. I'm so discouraged and so disappointed. We just had a great service. We've got the greatest church. But Lord, I don't know what to do. I started praying. I just fell on the floor. I just fell on the floor and started praying. And while I was praying, somebody came to my house, knocked on the door. I got up from praying. Tears running down my face, and I thought, boy, I look a mess. Probably some of my church members have come, and need me to pray with them, and here I can't even pray with myself. And this person looked at me and said, I got home, preacher, and God told me to come see you and tell you that my family loves you. You've been a help to us. You just keep on doing what you're doing. And begin to pray with me. Give me a hug. And walked away in tears. And I believe that that person that God sent in that hour to comfort me is one of the reasons I'm still here today. Because I probably would have left. But God sent somebody to help me. And I've prayed for that person time and time again that God would be a help to them. Somebody who's quiet. Somebody, if I called her name, they would die. Somebody who you would never even think about. God used them in a mighty way. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. God could use you too if you'd just go and respond. When God says you go see somebody, God will help. I think about some young men in this church. We didn't have any bread at our house that night. We was going to have to run to the store, and some young men said, preacher, we're going to get the bread for you. Came to my porch and handed me a loaf of bread. Wouldn't even let me pay him. You may say, that's no big deal. Lord God, anybody that go out after a Sunday night service, it's been as long as sometimes services can be, and go buy a loaf of bread for the preacher, they're all right in my book.
Amen.
That was a help to me. God will bless them and reward them openly, I pray. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You can be an encouragement to people just by simple actions. How can you do it? Because he comforted us.